Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The season is over for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the most anticipated part of this year is still to come. Free agency is looming for LeBron James. The fate of the franchise essentially is hanging in the balance. And I have Carter Rodriguez to talk about it. Carter, how's it going, man?
That made me feel really unqualified. Everything could burn down, like... and to help us contextualize this, it's this moron.
It's kind of like if the Avengers movie was, instead of going to the more powerful Avengers, they just asked Hawkeye to take care of everything, and he's just standing there with his bow.
It's an interesting season. We should probably, we haven't done our finals post-mortem yet, though we might as well have after game two, right? Like, in a lot of ways,
I think, in a lot of ways we did.
Yeah, because we knew it was over.
Maybe something wild could happen.
Yeah, we thought they might pride their way to a game, and they almost did. I mean, they almost prided their way to two games in this series. But ultimately, they weren't as good. They didn't shoot the ball very well. LeBron punched a whiteboard. The original report, by the way, for that said he punched a blackboard. And I'm like, what are we, in third grade in 1985?
Oracle's an arena. You never know. Apparently, the visitor's locker room is just a dump, so it's possible.
Just giving them chalkboards. I don't know.
What do you think of that whole? What do you think of the hand saga? Because we got to talk about hand game. I feel like that's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think Bomani Jones was the one who put it perfectly when he was like, you can acknowledge that his hand was probably hurt, and he wanted to make damn sure we all knew his hand was hurt.
Yeah, I think that the better move still would have been to, go to the beach shortly after and pay photographers to, take pictures of you with a cast on, and then you're the guy that didn't talk about his hand being hurt.
Oh, but then that's still actually really smart. Because I thought you were going to go, leak it to someone else.
No.
That's way smarter. It's like, oh, wait, why does LeBron have a cast on?
Oh, LeBron had a broken hand and he didn't want anyone to know about it. He just played through it. I think that's the better way to go. I mean, his explanation was he thought the report was already out. And it was clear that Windhorse and McMiniman and other reporters were kind of sitting on it. But I think that would have been the better play.
Well, as you know, he's not on social media during the playoffs, right. As you know.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just, he's just being dramatic and being LeBron. Like, if your reaction to that was to get, angry, I don't know what your problem is. It's just a silly story.
Well, your problem is then LeBron. Like, it's pretty funny to see which fan bases reacted to that, right off the bat. Like, there were the Warriors fans that are like, oh, so when one MVP is hurt, it matters, but not when another one's playing hurt. And I'm like, well, he still put up a 30-point triple-double. He wasn't throwing the ball behind his back out of bounds. But
I think that's, a big factor is, I think the reason this one's going to blow over is I don't think any Cavs fans had any delusions that, they could have won. If only his hand wasn't hurt. Which I guess maybe. Look at game three. It's because he wasn't very good in game three or game four, I would argue.
No.
Which was a bummer. But yeah.
Clearly had an impact, but the guys that looked like they were playing with a broken shooting hand were everyone else. So,
yeah.
And
yeesh.
Kevin Love
was pretty good.
Kevin Love was good for another finals, which I enjoyed because when it was unclear whether or not he was going to be available for game one of the finals, and then he was cleared medically, all the reaction, because when I posted the news on Fear the Sword, my at gets tagged there, and all the reactions are Cavs fans going, no, I hope he hurts his head again, and I hope he's out, and all the... those jokes, all the talk stopped as soon as he started playing because he had a real impact on the finals. And he's another one of those guys that if this is the last time we saw him in a Cavs uniform, at least he went out fighting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll say this. It was overall, I would say I was proud of the team. For the fight they showed, for the most part. Yeah, it got ugly a couple times. Game one sucked. But I didn't leave that finals feeling like super humiliated. They just weren't as good, and teams that aren't as good can't get away with making mistakes. Like, yeah, they should have shot better. Can't believe trapping Steph didn't work. you know, it's like the reality of everything that we could have suggested the Cavs to do pretty much would not have held up. I think it's like an old Winston Churchill quote. It's like, the best battle plan never survives first contact.
Mm-hmm.
There is no battle plan that was going to survive against this team with this set of personnel.
No, Carter, you know, it was exclusively Tyronn Lue holding the team back.
Well, God, don't we know it? You know, I don't know, like, what? How do you feel about this last season? You know, I didn't leave it feeling as like, I don't know, like, I if you had asked me going into the playoffs how I'd leave this season feeling, I might have thought I might have some bitterness or frustration because it was so messy.
I got more enjoyment out of it than I expected. Like,
that's a great way to put it.
You knew it was going to be a tough season basically as soon as the Kyrie rumors came out, and that there are going to be doubts on whether or not LeBron is going to stay, and we're about to get into all of that.
I do have a point real quick, because this is something that I don't, and you talking about Kyrie's trade demand really made me want to get this point onto the podcast, because I don't think I have yet. There's obviously been a lot of autopsies on the Cavs in the last, you know, couple weeks about the things they should have done, the things they shouldn't have done, you know, trading their firsts, signing JR, signing Tristan, whatever. Not enough importance, not enough weight is being given to the fact that nobody saw the Kyrie thing coming. And in this soft cap league, the entire structure of the roster was built around having three max salary players. And when one of those max salary players just wasn't there anymore, but you'd already spent like he was, you know, there's just not much to be done. And, you know, you can critique the trades they made, but they were trades made operating from a point of weakness. And really, I mean, I just think that, you know, Cavs fans, I don't think the national narrative will ever really care, because there's too many obvious fires to point at. But I think we're really going to think, Cavs fans are going to think 10 years from now, Jesus, that Kyrie trade request just ruined everything. It just blew up the entire structure of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean he wasn't within his rights to do it. You know, don't get fake woke on me, listeners. But it matters, man. That matters that the entire roster was built around this triumvirate that suddenly became a duo.
Yeah, you are completely right. And I think having some bitterness towards Kyrie is very understandable. I was certainly feeling that at times in the playoffs. I mean, even if he was here, he probably wouldn't have been available for the playoffs with the knee, but that's something that you couldn't foresee. And at least then that's an easier sell to LeBron, right? You're not just pitching Kevin Love and the eighth pick or whatever you can get for those assets. You still have Kyrie Irving here. So that becomes a much easier sell. But
I mean, maybe they would have fallen apart this season anyway. You know, who knows? But my feeling is that they would not have. They certainly wouldn't have spent the entire playoffs struggling to score the fucking basketball.
Yeah, Kyrie certainly helps out there. But unfortunately, that's one of those things that I think we're going to dwell on for a long time. And as you said, when you look back 10, 15 years from now, that's going to be the moment that you point to where everything kind of went to die. Especially when you look at the what ifs on how close they came to trading for Paul George and adding that to Kyrie and LeBron and what could have been there. But now we just have to look forward. And as we move forward, actually, it's probably a good time that we mention We have a new way to support the podcast. We have a Patreon page. So patreon.com/chasedownpodcast. I think it's important to clarify that the podcasts are always going to be free. It's not going to be put behind a paywall. This is just a way for you guys to, I guess, support the podcast, help pay for our overhead. We have some incentives, including a group chat for some of our Patreon users, where you can talk to us, ask Carter and I questions at any time, and kind of work your way towards a podcast appearance, because we're not just going to throw anybody on without having some sort of a rapport with them beforehand. But yeah, I think it's a cool way to go about supporting the podcast, and as I said, paying for our overhead.
Yeah, we love doing this pod, and, you know, ultimately we're happy to foot the bill that comes with hosting, but it, you know, things rack up over time, and so that if you're willing to throw any a buck or two our way a month, that'd be just really cool, and we'd really appreciate it. But again, we will never produce this podcast where you can't get it unless you are paying into it. I think that would be very opposed to the spirit of what we're doing. And really, we're just trying to help get our bills paid. Anything
and we're not that interesting.
Is Gucci.
We're not that interesting, man. Like, yeah. we can't ultimately charging for everyone. And I think it's also probably important to clarify that moving forward, regardless of what happens with LeBron James, we are going to be a Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. One of the ideas I floated out there was one of the two weekly shows we'll do is kind of talking about the league in general or things that are going on around the NBA. But primarily, it's always going to be through a Cavs focus. And we're going to have at least one podcast a week that is strictly Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep. Please keep listening to us. You know, and we always have touched on the league at large. I think that's like a pretty important thing to note, you know. So I don't think anything would be that big of a departure, even if we did start focusing on the league at large a little more. But yeah, we're a Cavs podcast. And even though the Chase Down might be leaving Cleveland, the Chase Down podcast will not. It will stay in Winnipeg and Columbus, where it's currently based.
You are so goddamn hateful. You think the Chase Down blocks aren't going to be happening in Cleveland when this is Jetty Osmond's
Jetty
team. Come on, man.
You know what we'll do? We'll just like we'll just add like a mop of hair onto our logo.
Oh my god. I'm all about that.
I've got some graphic design buddies. We're doing this.
Okay, we're retroactively putting Jetty in the Iguodala block. But yes, the elephant in the room, the reason why we are hustling backwards and cashing in at the worst possible time. LeBron James free agency is approaching, or possible free agency. We've touched on this before on how a lot of his best options include or involve him in with the Cleveland Cavaliers and getting traded to another location. Even if it's a team with cap space like the Philadelphia 76ers or LA Lakers, getting moved rather than signing outright is a way that, while it hurts what the existing parts are of that team, it helps keep that cap space open at a second or third star. So I think that there is a strong possibility that we hear more ahead of time, even as early as the draft, than we have in years past. Carter, if you had to guess, because that's all anybody is doing now, the analysts are guessing, podcasters are guessing, the bloggers are guessing, people are speculating where his son is going to go to high school. But if you're going to lend your voice to all the guessing, what do you kind of anticipate happening here?
I don't know, man. I just think we have to, like, I think that it seems pretty stupid to start, like, picking destinations before we figure out what all these GMs do to justify LeBron joining them in the first place, you know? And, like, he obviously has a hand in that, but, like, LeBron isn't just going to go to LA no matter what, you know? Like, that's what seems so silly to me is, like, about the silly rumors about his son, committing or enrolling in some private school in June, even though he's LeBron James. You don't think he can wait? You don't think he can wait till August? Like, hey, I'm coming here now. My name's LeBron James. Like, it's not that hard. It's not like me or you trying to get our kid into like a prestigious private school.
Yeah.
He'll just pay them off. It's not that hard.
I'm sure that that might be a school that Bronny has looked into, and I'm sure that they've looked at a bunch of different schools for him. I wouldn't even be surprised if he went to school in LA, and if that report ended up being true, even if LeBron stays in Cleveland. I do think, though, that LA is the only other option that I can even see happening. I think that they kind of present him with the blank canvas that he usually likes to have in creating a team. I think Houston is an awkward fit for many reasons, which we can get into a little later. But LA, I feel like that's a situation where he can go with Paul George and recruit a kind of a third guy, whether that be Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, maybe even CJ McCollum could be someone that the Lakers trade for, or Kemba Walker. You never know. And unless he's able to get that third star, I really do feel like he's going to end up back in Cleveland. I just don't see the Philadelphia or Houston options kind of coming to fruition.
Yeah, Philly, I always joked, just felt like a 2K, NBA 2K offseason generated thing that where you go and see, you're like, ah, oh, he wouldn't do that. It just doesn't feel right. He's so image so health conscious. He's probably not going to hitch his wagon to Joel Embiid. The fit would be odd. I think the thing that we don't talk about enough with LeBron is like his genuine need to control an organization in totality.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not doing that in Houston.
No,
you're not doing that in Philly. I think Magic Johnson is smart enough to get the hell out of the way in L.A.
I do enjoy the Lakers fans that are saying, no, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are going to put their foot down. They're going to show LeBron that you don't get to run the show. You don't get to dictate terms or who's coming here. It's just going to be them, LeBron, Paul George, and the young guys, because the young guys are our future. There's no way that LeBron is going
LeBron
to harvest
give
all of them.
A fuck about the future and never will. But I'll say this, man, it's not as easy as people think it is for the Lakers, because I think the idea is that, okay, the Lakers will find a way to generate max cap space and then sign LeBron and George. And then from that point on, flip all their young guys for maybe one more star. Which sure makes sense, but the money doesn't really work. They have to gut so much of their roster to make that happen that they'd have to somehow include the Luol Deng contract to make money work.
Right.
So, like, what team is going to give up their star, take on a couple of, like, yeah, some high upside assets? Like, you know, if you do, like, Lonzo and Kuzma, like, Lonzo and Kuzma are combined making $7
million. Yeah, that's not to trade for max guy, right?
Yeah, so you pretty much have to involve that. So are Lonzo and Kuzma so valuable that you're willing to give up your star and take on another $54 million or another $34 million of Luol Deng? I don't know. Maybe they are. It's not easy though. I think the Lakers would probably have to give up some assets beyond that, and I mean you probably have to give up a lot because the Luol Deng price is not low. Just to dump the contract in the first place. So, and then you just look, I don't even know who the Lakers would chase. That would be like a no doubter other than Kawhi, but
they
can't get Kawhi.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing. My hot take that is based on absolutely no information at all is that LeBron is going to play with Paul George next year. And if they can get that third star like Chris Paul or Kawhi Leonard, then it's going to be in LA. If he can't, they're going to end up in Cleveland together, and Cleveland's going to end up trading their
pick. For old Kevin is the third wheel again.
Yeah. But like, to me, that makes sense because LeBron has to know that him and Paul George, no matter what your supporting cast isn't enough to beat the Warriors. And yeah, unless he can get that third star with him, I don't see him relocating to the Lakers and all of the drama and all the issues that come with that, on top of what he always brings to a situation. I just can't see him doing that, especially when you compare it to Cleveland, where at least you still have, as you mentioned, Kevin Love there. You still have that third all-star caliber player, which I think is important. And yes, the supporting cast is not great. I mean, we've gotten into whether or not they would be better with the training camp. But I just don't see him going to a situation unless it's considerably better than what he has now. And I don't think the Lakers would be that with Paul George alone.
Yeah, because, I mean, hypothetically, I just, once again, if Paul George tells the Thunder he's leaving, which, by the way, we still don't know if that's the case. But
imagine if he like, signs an extension right away.
Oh, my God. And that would be, like, that would be, I guess, you know what the funny thing is with the LeBron-George pairing? It just makes so much sense that I almost feel skeptical about it. Because, like, There's just too much human error and weirdness we don't account for when we talk about team building. Cough, cough, Kyrie Irving. and like, yeah, sometimes just weird shit happens. You know, weird teams come out of left field to do weird stuff. And like, I'm just trying to figure out what that weird situation is. And I don't know what it is.
I got a take for you or a question for you. Would you think, from LeBron's perspective and just from a basketball analyst perspective, do you think Houston would be more appealing if they flipped Harden for Paul George and it was George, LeBron, and Chris Paul, just from a standpoint?
I think it'd be more appealing to LeBron, but I don't see why Houston would do that.
No, Houston would never do that, but I just don't see LeBron playing with Harden. Like,
it just doesn't quite that's also in the class of doesn't feel quite right. But I will say this, Daryl Morey doesn't give a fuck. Chris Paul didn't sound right with James Harden either, and it worked great.
That's true. No, but I'm just saying.
Don't understand. I'll say this, man, because we keep hearing about like how LeBron like is really into playing with Chris Paul too. Like that's like a big report. It's like, dude, look at the rest of your banana boat buddies. This probably won't go well for you. Chris Paul is 32, like 34 or something, some shit like that. And I guess he's 33. He's 33 and he's 6 foot nothing.
Yeah, those guys still gets into the lifestyle thing, though, right? That it's beyond basketball for them. And oh, he wants to play with one of his buddies and maybe compete. But I don't know how you could ever have.
No way. What I'm saying is, like, you must be thinking about the fact that, like, oh, Melo fell off a cliff this year. Oh, Wade Dwayne fell off a cliff 2 years ago. He must know it's coming
Wade
for Chris.
Dwayne?
No.
Reading his medical records?
I just said Dwayne.
No, I thought you said Wade Dwayne, but yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I'm still a little congested because I've had a sinus infection for a month and a half, so maybe it just
that's,
came out.
That's weird. A podcast staple, so at least after a week off to digest things, you're still in peak podcaster form with the stuff.
I am what I am. I don't know. It just doesn't feel quite right. All this doesn't feel right except L.A. L.A. makes sense to me. But even then, it's weird. I mean, I guess every decision's going to feel weird because there are no good choices.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm obviously still holding out hope that Paul George and him team up in Cleveland because I think that would be really fun and about a year overdue. But still, speaking of which, how funny would it be if that deal did go through, the Paul George and Eric Bledsoe, after seeing how bad Bledsoe performed in the playoffs? And
yeah.
That would have been a nightmare. It would have been better to have Paul George here. But,
I will say, man, if they're able to flip 8 for Paul George, all of a sudden, that Kyrie return isn't
especially
as bad as
Kyrie
we thought
leaves.
It was.
Because Boston's already starting the smear campaign. They're already starting the campaign to make it seem like he's going to leave, only to trade him away.
It's not wrong.
That would be one of the greatest predatory loans Dan Gilbert has ever offered anybody.
Sold a broken-ass bill of goods. I don't know, man. It's just like, it's really interesting. I do feel like Paul George to Cleveland makes a lot of sense. Here's my question, and this is something that, again, we've harped on in the past, or is something I've brought up multiple times, and it's not coming up in any of the scenarios where we talk about the Cavs kind of reloading their roster. We've been talking about them moving the number eight pick in this year's draft. I think they should get that 2021 pick involved in the right deal. Your thoughts?
Well, 2021. I guess that's
the next first they're allowed to trade.
Right. I think that would be interesting. I know where you're going with that because the uncertainty surrounding LeBron could bait teams into thinking, hey, this could be more valuable than they think. But at the same time, I'm assuming that pick would come with protections similar to the one that they gave up for Kyle Korver next year where it's top 10.
I don't think I'd protect it top 10, but I don't know. So I guess the way I was thinking was, all right, like let's say you already have that Paul George deal lined up and you want to go get CJ McCollum. They say, love for CJ. We think CJ is more valuable than that. You had a sweet in the pot. I mean, are you willing to throw in a top eight protected first in 2021 for a young guy in CJ?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, I would.
I think I probably would too if push came to shove.
Because you still have control of CJ for a while as well, and I think that would have to be a factor.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that's something that isn't really coming up and something that's interesting. Now, I think that it's worth wondering if CJ McCollum's actually that much better than Kevin Love, because I think people are just jumping off of that idea without really thinking about it.
Yep. I think that
is a valid question. Because CJ McCollum has better PR. I don't really know if he does.
What do you do with Kevin Love in the event that LeBron leaves?
This is the whole thing, man. I just like, that one like bums me out more than like the idea of LeBron leaving is the idea of like having the discussion of where to send Kevin Love if you want to blow it up.
Because we've been through with LeBron, I think to some extent everyone's
it's like kind LeBron's of choice.
Yeah.
That's what bums me out, I think, is like honestly, I don't know. I'll probably regret this and Mort will make fun of you, but maybe you just leave it up to Kevin.
No, I was going to say that's exactly what I would do. I think Kevin Love's kind of earned the right to say, hey, you know what? I'm actually pretty comfortable here. I'd rather not move.
Like, hey, we'll try to build a decent team around you. What do you say? Or, hey, do you want us to find somewhere for you? Because honestly, you're not going to get great value on a Kevin Love trade anyway, because his stock is unfairly lower than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I might as well send him somewhere he can be successful and happy.
Imagine how funny he'd be in like Denver if they like flip Millsap for a shooting guard or a 3-and-D guy. That team would have so much passing. That'd be so fun. Actually, on this topic, we had a mailbag question sent to chasedownpod@gmail.com. I always want to say the Chase Down Pod, but it's just Chase Down Pod. Brendan Serrani asks, if LeBron decides to leave and makes the front office aware of the draft, would trading Love to Memphis or Dallas for the top pick and taking on a bad contract be worth it? Carter, I know we've kind of pitched ideas of what we would like in return, ideally. Getting a pick that high, especially from a team like Memphis, who getting Mike Conley back probably thinks that they're a playoff team and that they can win again, would that be something that you'd be interested if it came along with a bad contract like Chandler Parsons?
Yeah, I would do it because I don't give a shit about Dan Gilbert's pocketbook.
Thank you.
if he wants to pay the tax or stay as a taxpayer and they'll get off most of their deals soon enough. I don't know. It wouldn't bother me, but, I would get why it wouldn't happen. I don't think Memphis or Dallas would do that deal.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Kevin Love is considered so valuable. I mean, we're talking about how number eight is probably not enough to get CJ McCollum. It doesn't feel likely that you could get four or five for Kevin Love, even if, I guess, I do think the idea is sound and that, hey, we're going to help you clean your cap sheet. We'll take Wes Matthews or someone similarly awful off your hands and give you an all-star for a top pick. I think maybe you could bark up that tree with Memphis who are pretty cap strapped and not a super rich team. I don't know. It's an interesting idea, and it's not one that I'd heard, because I think we're just not there yet.
Right.
But yeah, I would probably consider pursuing those deals. Now, would Dan Gilbert? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think the money thing would be a concern, because I think that would be cut and gutted in different ways. But yeah, I think you're along the right mindset there of looking to, one, get that salary down so that you can be in a position to take on bad contracts in exchange for assets. And then two, exchange whatever you have of value kind of for those picks and teams that are looking to win now. You might pair Kyle Korver with someone to try to get a return and work that way. But obviously, a lot still has to kind of come down to what LeBron James decides. And then from there, what direction the team wants to go. I think
in 9 days, we will know at the NBA draft, we will know if LeBron James is going to stay in Cleveland or not.
Yes, I do think we're going to know by the draft. Honestly, as wild as it would be, I wouldn't even be surprised to see like a trade go down on that day. It'll be really, really interesting to see what happens, but I don't think it's going to be dragged out in the same way that it has been in years past, just because he needs the team to be a willing participant in this, and at the very least be on the same page so that they can help facilitate a trade if it's necessary. I also wouldn't be surprised if he just left as a free agent and opted out. But I think if he opts in and skips on free agency, I think at that point it would be something where the team would have to announce, hey, he's opted in, but we're exploring trade options. You can't just opt in, kind of go through the fanfare of, hey, LeBron's not going to be a free agent for a few days. And then all of a sudden, you start having the conversations leaked where, oh crap, they're shopping him. And I think the team would want to get out ahead of that. I think LeBron would want to get out ahead of that. If this is a split, I don't think the bad blood is going to be anywhere near what it was in 2010.
Yeah, and I also think that the Cavs just aren't going to trade 8 for someone. Like basically, the way I see it is that the Cavs will need to have a plan, a set of deals in place, and then present that to LeBron before the draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's happening this week, honestly.
Yeah, and if he and if LeBron says yes, pull the trigger. That's all you need to know. And if he doesn't say yes, that's also all you need to know.
Do you think it's as simple as, do the Cavs use the pick? If yes,
yeah, I think that yeah. Yeah, I think it's that simple. I think if Wendell Carter is on the Cavs on June 22nd,
God.
We know.
I'm so unprepared to talk draft.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be tough. We need to get Trevor on because he actually knows what he's talking about. I do think I heard you say something that was interesting, and I want to talk to you about it real quick. You said something about shopping LeBron, like. I don't think it will work that way.
It's not going to work that way. LeBron's going to outline his options. I don't even remember when I said that. I don't remember when I said anything I say. But I think LeBron's going to have, here's what I've worked out. Yeah. And
I want to go to Houston, get me there.
Yes.
And if you don't get me there, I'll go to LA. That's what I think will happen. Because right. He can't say, get me to Houston. Or else, because the Cavs, like, I don't anticipate him allowing the Cavaliers to have any leverage here.
No, and he has a no trade clause too, right? So that's still in effect, and he holds all of the cards here. And
yeah.
That's why I think it would happen prior to July 1st if he's opting in and he's getting traded somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to know by the end of the month here.
Which is great for our sanity. I hope it plays out that way.
I mean, I'll say this. I do kind of love silly season.
I absolutely love
tracking planes and hearing rumors about AAU teammates and all this stupid shit.
And Cupcake Gate.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll say this about silly season and about people being very confident with things they tell you. And you might even hear this, like, not from reporters. Like, you might have a buddy who tells you stuff. People are very, very confident about things they should not be very confident in. That's not a basketball thing. That's an everyday life thing. So, like, for example, like, an AAU dad at whatever canyon in high school, the high school Bronny is supposed to be going to, maybe Savannah was there checking out the school. He sees that and goes, Bronny's coming to Sierra Canyon. And then he tells some reporter, hey, I heard Bronny's coming to Sierra Canyon. And all of a sudden, it's a story. You know? Like, I mean, like, Justin, I think it's fair to say that both me and you hear stories presented as fact that never come close to being reality. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say.
We hear that all the time, and we don't even fucking know anyone.
No, we do not.
And so, like, ultimately, like, you have to be really careful on getting caught up in this stuff if you're a cash fan. That's what I'll say.
Carter, I want to get your gut reaction on something. I'm just going to say a sentence, sure, and I want you to react.
Sure.
LeBron opts into next season and punts this until next year.
Can't happen. He would opt out and sign another 1+1.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because, like, there's no downside to him signing a 1+. There's no upside to the one-year deal over a 1+1.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And then, again, it's going to be the same conversation, though, obviously, if he has the option to opt out.
Hey, I'll say this. I keep saying that. I need to stop. That's a vocal habit. If LeBron does another 1+1, he's staying until he retires.
Okay. There's your take of the day.
That's my take of the day, because my thinking is, I'm not just being dumb, hopefully, is that that means the Cavs have presented him with a roster that is of quality, and has at least one additional superstar coming in.
We need to talk about the Dan Gilbert elephant in the room. We got another email from a listener, Carson Zimmer, who is talking a little bit about the conversation that we had with Kobe about Kobe Altman last week, and just kind of how, if you're LeBron, how can you rely on any scenario that Kobe Altman even pitches without wondering how Gilbert's going to interfere? Is that something that you just mitigate with these short deals, or how much do you think Dan Gilbert's presence affects the ability to get this done?
I don't think as much as you'd think, just from the perspective of, like, you know, like, there's no world in which I think, like, the instinct would be like, uh-oh, like, the Cavs had these deals on the table and LeBron said he'd stick around and then Dan Gilbert was a psycho or something and the deals fell through. It's like, well, LeBron will wait till they're executed.
No. I think the question is more, how can Kobe Altman, like, pitch a vision and here's a plan when you don't know, you're not able to pitch anything, and you're kind of undermined by his presence because any long-term plan can be disrupted by Gilbert's presence.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think LeBron cares about long-term plans.
I think that is a very fair retort.
I think he wants to know who's going to be on his roster next year.
Yeah, and if he goes somewhere, it's going to be the strip mining of young talent and everything to win in the next year or two.
He's going to get old soon, folks.
Because jack shit is guaranteed. Did you see the comment Bob Myers and Steve Kerr roasting Durant at the parade?
Durant hated it so much.
He hated it so much. And I love
just the lamest dude in America, man.
It was funny and it was fine. Like, Durant was laughing early on, and then Bob Myers launched into that part about, well, it's different with Steph. He's been around here. He was here through the lean years. You know, he earned it. And that was the point.
Why no one loves him to a crowd of adoring fans?
And that was the point where Steve Kerr even went, wow. And, like, Durant was clearly no longer having any of it. My God. And you know with him that there's the possibility that something small like this is going to just, it's going to infest his brain, and it's just going to lay there. It's going to lay eggs in there and be there for the rest of all time.
Unreal. I cannot believe they said that. Especially, oh my God.
This is the influence of Andy Liu. It is seeping even into Bob Myers and Steve Kerr.
Yep. It's so funny. Poor Kevin, man.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if after next season he left. Like, even if they three-peat.
No, because he's too... Like, the thing about that line of thinking is that it doesn't affect the fact... It doesn't factor in the fact that everyone will be telling him, "I told you so," when he does it. And then, thus, that will piss him off. So, he's just doomed to be miserable forever, winning 9 championships in a row.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to mention about the finals. Nothing made it easier than watching the Warriors try to convince themselves to be excited at the end of the fourth quarter.
I don't know.
They were doing this little hoppy thing. Like, they were hopping and, like, pasting a smile on their face. Have you ever, like... I'm trying to think of, like, a scenario where, like... Maybe it's, like a party for someone you don't know, but your significant other knows. And you're trying to, like, muster up enthusiasm. That was the vibe that the entire Warriors bench had.
Oh, boy. I did enjoy how much in that game they were trying to feed Curry to try to get him that finals MVP, and just how dejected he looked after game 3, knowing that that probably blew any chance for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just great. Like, that was such a hollow feeling. Like, oh, it was just great. And how about Nick Young just, like, lazily trying to copy the J.R. Smith thing?
Yeah, I did enjoy his getting called out by Iggy Azalea and him taking that opportunity to rip into her, or to rip into D'Angelo Russell would be more specific, but just to make light of that whole situation. I actually did get a really good laugh out of that. And yeah. Draymond, as annoying and obnoxious as he is, my God, the shirt he was wearing, the mood shirt with the 3 rings, that was a very, very, very strong play by him.
Shirt is great. There's no way around it. I mean, fuck him, but it's great.
I think that's,
like,
pretty fair.
I've talked a lot about that being, like, Draymond's, like, greatest appeal, is that, like, it's just nice to, like, not have to contextualize why you don't like another team.
Yeah, you can just, like, kind of him, point towards him.
Yeah, he just allows you the luxury of saying, "Hey, fuck that guy." You know, like, not everyone, you don't always get to do that.
He went after my large adult son and Tristan Thompson. That was very upsetting.
Yes. So yeah, it's nice. He allows them. He lets us hate them more, and I think that's always fun.
It's a very valuable skill set in the hating game, and yeah, I'd be okay with a couple more chapters in this rivalry. I know, yeah, I mean, no writer would be, but yeah, I'm pretty okay with this era continuing. As frustrating as it was, a retool and let's piss everybody off with a round 5, I think, would be really great.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind. I like going to the finals. Now, I don't know. What level of interest do you have in the Cavaliers next year if LeBron leaves?
Probably full. There's one... I think one thing that's nice about the situation that they're in is the last time LeBron left, obviously, well, there was that 7-8 start or whatever that they had.
Oh, before that Anderson. Was such a nice start.
That little fool's gold. And then,
so proud of them.
And then Anderson Varejao tore his Achilles, and then everything kind of fell apart there. And you went through that lean year, at least having the number 8 pick. And I think you're going to be able to get some young assets for Love, Korver, and those type of pieces. Having that, having Larry Nance Jr., like, it just feels like there's more watchable players. And I'd even be interested to see what Tyronn Lue could do with a young team and where a situation where he has full control. So I just think it's so much better than the last situation just because you have that. I don't think it's going to be any good, especially if they do go the teardown route. But there's at least young talent there that you can watch and that you can feel some investment in. Whereas in 2010, it was, okay, these are just kind of the leftover parts after you lost like three of your best four players and then Varejão tears his Achilles.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think what I'm going to have a harder time with is like the lack of stakes. You know, the Cavs hadn't made a finals for 3 years and actually hadn't even made the conference finals the last year.
Right.
And that makes it a little easier, maybe. That made it a little like easier just to go like, well, we weren't winning a title with this team anyway. Whereas like, and then like you could like sell yourself. You had, I think there was also like a factor was that we, at least I felt hurt and I was sad and like I felt like rejected by LeBron at the time. So like there was like a little bit of like, yeah, like let's try to do it without him. Whereas like now it's like,
no, there was definitely that back then. And
I don't think anyone's feeling that now. It's going to be more like, oh, we are fucked.
No, it's going to be a bummer, but I think it would be funny to see kind of the evolution of this podcast because it's basically just going to be me trying to cheer you up and to get you enthusiastic and being like, hey, look, no, Mikal Bridges, nice young player, nice little player.
I don't know, man. Actually, I will say from the perspective of my whole life, I'm pretty good at just adjusting to whatever my reality is and then like I don't normally feel very wistful about that sort of stuff. Okay. You know, like I don't know, man. I don't think when we're watching the Cavs next season, I think the front end will be tough when we're like trying to get ready for the season. But then once the games start, it's just a new thing to think about.
Yeah. And healthy disposition brag, bro.
You know.
But the other thing is, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as
they're going to be messy.
They're going to be interesting. They're going to be involved in a million trade rumors because the Cavs were in those trade rumors and in those type of circuits basically 24/7. No matter how bad they were, they always found a way to make themselves somewhat relevant. So I don't think
how much of that relevance do you think has to do with the decision? Like they were secondhand relevant, they were relevant just because they were LeBron's last team. Like people like inherently like wanted to see how they would do. And then Kyrie came, but I don't think Kyrie was the reason they were.
I don't think so either, but I think there's always going to be something to just how vocal the fan base can be that you're always going to see writers come out with some sort of take. You're always going to see national guys come out with something towards that because
Cleveland will annoy you into coverage.
Exactly. We're going to annoy you into coverage and we're going to annoy you into content and clicks. And I think that's always going to be a thing. But I definitely think that there was some decision afterglow. And frankly, I think if LeBron did leave, I think there's still going to be a sentiment that, hey, he hasn't played his last game as a Cleveland Cavalier. There's going to be some sort of farewell tour. And it's going to be people wondering when that happens.
I am so here for 39-year-old LeBron coming back to the Cavs.
I was laughing.
Boris Diaw.
I was catching up on High Noon today, and Bomani was joking about the clip of LeBron saying that his greatest accomplishment in his career would be playing on the same court as Bronny. And he's like, it doesn't have to be on my team. It could be on the other team. And he's going on about it. And Bomani's like, he wants to play on the other team. He wants to block his son's ass so bad. And I think that'd be something to see.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen if Bronny's up to the task.
Yeah, I think as long as LeBron doesn't.
But poor Bronny has been getting penciled into the NBA since he was like 9. What if he just sucks? Like, it's more likely that he sucks than that he doesn't.
I mean, he's going through like the same, maybe even bigger, like national attention than as LeBron. I think that's going to be
not bigger, but I mean,
at this age, though, was LeBron when he was 14?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know, but it won't be as big once he's 18.
No, I agree with you there, but I just think it's interesting that you're seeing that cycle repeat itself. And I mean,
I was just thinking about Marcus Jordan, Mike's kid, who played at, I think, UCF and then was never very good.
Right, but that's just more a result of like basketball improving and eras catching up. I think he was a Michael Jordan clone, but Jordan just couldn't play beyond when he played.
Well, no, what I'm saying—that's not what I'm saying. What are you talking about?
I'm being a dick. I'm not saying anything. Ignore me.
What I'm saying is, it's interesting because that kid had a lot of pressure on him as Mike's oldest son. But like he wasn't around in the internet era where like. We're like, Bronny has just been getting filmed and put in highlight reels since he was like 11. It's just crazy.
I love how much LeBron hates it.
He doesn't hate it.
No, I think he gets really annoyed when you see the analysis of where Bronny's going to go. Like he's already in like ESPN segments on Bronny's going to this high school, and there's no way you can't tell me he doesn't hate that.
I don't know, man. I don't think he cares. That's not one I think he cares about, but yeah, you might be right. Who knows?
Okay. Well, when I speak an opinion, I turn it into fact.
That's so fair.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I mean, we're kind of playing the guessing game at this point because frankly, we're in the dark. I think with our luck by recording this, it increases the likelihood that something crazy is going to be announced tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday night, and I'm assuming on Wednesday there's going to be some LeBron trade, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. I think we should probably save all our fake trades for next week, just to, you know, keep something in the barrel.
And we'll also talk about the draft.
We need to talk draft. We'll get Trevor Magnotti on at some point since he's the only Cavs Twitter guy who actually knows what. Eustacio Rowley does too, but I've never heard him on a pod. It'll probably be Trevor. Let's be honest.
No, I like Trevor. He's been on past.
I love to fuck with Trevor about because Trevor is the littlest bit lukewarm on DeAndre Ayton. So I've been shitting on him for hating Ayton.
It's a good bit.
Pretty much since he mentioned that. I just like calling Trevor a hater, like because I do no homework. I do relatively no homework. So like to insinuate he hasn't done his when he works so hard is just the funniest bit to me.
It's really, really annoying and something I haven't completely come to terms with that. If we do go back into draft watch season one, I'm going to have to pay a little more attention to college. And two, Draft Express videos aren't there. I really miss being able to watch just the strengths videos on every player and never focus on the weakness and be like, hey, look at this guy. This guy, he's the next Jordan. He's a hybrid team
that can shoot threes.
Yeah. Shout out to Mo Bamba. Anyways.
Yeah, that's probably it for today, though. Shout out our first set of patrons? We're so happy that you're paying us money.
I thought you were going to give out individual shout outs.
We can do that. Shout outs to our first 7 patrons. Kyle Jacobs, Philip Jaloulakis. It's Greek. Sorry, man.
That is so God, that's disrespectful.
Well, it's Greek, and it's hard to... I have a hard time with Greek names. Ed Carroll, Hayden Wheel, Joe Corkery, Damon Rangula, the GOAT, and Mason Bono. Thank you guys so much. I cannot believe you guys are willing to support us. It's so kind of you. Hopefully other people will help us cover our costs, maybe throw a little extra cashish our way. But as always, if not, that's completely okay. We love you regardless of your monetary contributions to this podcast. We're mostly just geek that you listen at all.
No kidding. And in that spirit, I also want to give a thank you to Kira Wagner from Melbourne, Australia. See, I even went through the effort of pronouncing it properly, even if it makes me sound arrogant. She sent us very nice feedback on the podcast, and we do appreciate the feedback and support all you guys give us. You can email ChaseDownPod with any questions. As we, Carter and I have talked about, we now have the Patreon, so patreon.com/ChaseDownPodcast. Where you can be a contributor, and as I said, we're looking to set up a group chat that you guys can communicate in there for some of our patrons, and you can also subscribe the podcast for free, or help the podcast for free, by going to iTunes, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends about it. We appreciate whatever form your support comes in. So we have a lot to talk about. The NBA season is over, but the real season has begun. So until next time, go Cavs.